The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
What I ended up doing over this course of witnessing to her was I told her that although her efforts were honorable, that ultimately it was like changing seats on the Titanic. And what I meant by that was we can rearrange the furniture on the Titanic, you know, another example. But the idea is that the Titanic's going down. It's inevitable the ship's going to go down. So why would you spend any time trying to deal with that, anything on the ship? You're trying to get rescued off the ship. And this world is going to pass away one day.
Hi there, and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who's been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he has traveled the entire continental United States preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience in the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. I'm Larry, your host, and you have tuned into a new broadcast that we're doing. It's episode 75 in the radio broadcast department on my website. It's entitled Finding Common Ground. And so today is January 7th in the year of our Lord 2022, a brand new year. And so we have a brand new program, and we did a Christmas series here in the month of December. You can see that or listen to that on my website. We also are going through an ongoing Bible study through the book of Acts. Well, I haven't put out a regular radio broadcast in a long time, and on First Love Radio, where I do broadcast every weekend, Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Coast time in the United States, and Sunday again at the same time, 7 a.m., you can go to the program schedule on firstloveradio.org and check out. There's a lot of other shows there, too. We got Alistair Begg, we got a lot of the national known celebrity type broadcasters, and we got some local ones. It's just some great programs on there, and check it out besides mine. You can listen to mine anytime after it's recorded, you know, 24/7 on my website there, and it's all up there on the screen. But we thought we'd get back to the evangelistic topics and go from there. Well, one of the things we wanted to mention is that, like I said, it's a brand new program. We are doing video podcasts as well as just audio. So depending on how you're listening or watching, we just basically extract the audio onto its own track and then put that up there for those that listen only. Well, anyway, enough about the technical stuff. One of the things I want to mention in finding common ground and a topic, I did a program a couple years ago, and I think it was in 2018. In fact, I got it here. Let me look. I think it was 2000. I'll announce it. It'll be in the description part there. I'm going to put it in there. It's a link to it. It was a similar show, and it was titled, All Things to All Men. And it was taken out of the scripture in 1 Corinthians there about Paul, who said, to the Jew I became a Jew, to those under the law I became as those under law. And the whole purpose of this was to be able to identify with the people as much as possible so that he could witness to them, so that he could see their souls be saved. So we don't want to, you know, build up walls. We want to take down walls, and we want to find common ground. And so in this program, we're going to look at a couple things, two main things. I'm going to share a testimony I picked out that I did several years ago. I witnessed to this gal, and we're going to cover that, and I'll go through that point by point. And then we're also going to go through our text today, which is in Acts 26, 1 through 29. And, you know, we have done many, and not just myself, but other people, when we're doing teaching or explanations on one-on-one witnessing from the Bible, of course, a famous passage could be in the book of John, John chapter 4, with Jesus at the woman at the well, or in Acts chapter 8, there you got Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Both of those are excellent passages, and you can glean a lot out of them. I try to find some other ones as well. And in this case, we're going to look at how Paul witnessed to King Agrippa, before King Agrippa. And there was other people there as well. Well, let's go first to talk about this encounter I had. It was several years ago in the city of Sacramento. And I was going out there to do some street preaching. Well, I happened to be meeting a couple of the other guys, and I got there early. I always like to get there early to scope out the corner, pray, that sort of thing. And so I beat them there, and here's a gal that was right sort of in our spot, and we weren't going to interfere with her or vice versa. But anyway, she had a little sign, I guess it was. I can't remember. But basically, she was representing Greenpeace. And for those that are not familiar with Greenpeace, in California and the Bay Area in particular, a lot of the organizations like that, they canvass the streets and they try to get people to donate to the cause. And Greenpeace is basically goes back to, oh, it's been around for a number of decades. And what they do is they try to, the first thing that comes to mind is save the whales, right? And, but they're into other things. They're into environmental stuff, basically. And so it's an organization, and she was out there to represent that and basically try to get donations. And so, that's how she approached me. Well, first of all, I gotta mention, I hate dealing with these kinds of people sometimes. Not just the fact that they're asking for money, but then they're representing a organization that has what I call a lot of baggage with it, you know. It's not just their organization. They kind of fall into that liberal camp where they're also goes hand in hand witnessing to other people, you know, that sort of thing. Well, anyway, I want to share how I found common ground with her. The first thing she brought up was the specific cause they were tackling at the time was something to do with the bees, with the honeybees. That there was somehow going to be extinct, and of course if that happened, it would totally mess up the planet because they pollinate and with fruit trees. I don't understand it all, but those that are scientific will understand that they have a lot to do with our food supply chain and plant life, and it has to do with oxygen and everything, a big deal. And so the first thing I said to her was, yeah, I agree. I don't want to see the bee population die out. Of course I'm for preserving animal life and don't want to see any animal species go extinct. And so I was sympathetic to her cause. So we began to discuss that. And, one of the things I would do in a case like that, depending on how much time you have, is the more time you can invest in the person you're talking to in that situation, the more you're going to be able to share with them. And, of course, you don't want to come across as that they're your project or anything. You want to genuinely listen to them and pay them any kind of compliment you can if it's genuine. And you don't want to find yourself flattering the person or anything like that. Well, I did. I said I appreciated her commitment that she had, as she was very vocal about what she believed in. I even told this corny joke about, I borrowed this joke from David Crosby, this rock and roll singer that had shared about Greenpeace, that he was on a beach one time and they kept coming up to him and throwing him back in the water because, you know, he was referring to he was as big as a whale and they thought he was a whale. And so it was kind of a corny joke. So I brought that up a little bit, but kind of broke the ice with that, but began to listen to her. And then I identified with her. You know, it's kind of hard to have a job that you're trying to solicit for money, even if you believe in the cause. So I went through all these things. And the other thing was I identified with her was with what I do was a good introduction to what I was out there to do. And that was to preach the gospel and to share that, you know, I have rejection. I can experience rejection as well as she can experience rejection. So we got to the point where I did ask her about pro-life. Now, this is something interesting. We don't want to presume. I presume that every cause is sort of related to the other, like I mentioned a minute ago. This gal was for pro-life. And a lot of those people, they're not. They're for abortion. They're for pro-choice, that sort of thing. But she, amazingly, she was sort of pro-life. So we had that in common. And I just continued to just talk to her, converse with her, and told her that, you know, again, Greenpeace a lot of times comes with other baggage. What I ended up doing over this course of witnessing to her was I told her that although her efforts were honorable, that ultimately it was like changing seats on the Titanic. And what I meant by that was we can rearrange the furniture on the Titanic, you know, another example. But the idea is that the Titanic's going down. It's inevitable the ship's going to go down. So why would you spend any time trying to deal with that, anything on the ship? You're trying to get rescued off the ship. And this world is going to pass away one day. Now, we do have to live in this world until that happens. So we don't want to just throw our arms up in the air and throw garbage out the window. I'm not into that. I do recycle when I can. But I do not make it an idol, and I do not certainly make it a priority, because I explained to her that one day this world's going to pass away. And so these efforts to preserve the world, as good as they may be, are very temporal in the nature of the cause. And I explained to her about heaven and hell at that point, you see. So it was a good way to get in the gospel. And by this time, she was really listening to me, because, again, I took the time to listen to her. And now, if I would have just went up to her and barked out, you know, what you're doing is like, you're just like changing seats on the Titanic here, she wouldn't have received it, I don't think, whatsoever, because I would have been very short and brash. But because I took the time to find common ground and to the Jew become a Jew, as Paul said. So investment in the time. And now sometimes you don't always have that much time to engage. But you do what you can. Now when it got down to our parting ways, I opted not to give her a donation. And the reason I did was not because I'm cheapskate, but because one thing I thought, well, I don't want her to think that I'm trying to bribe her. In other words, it was evident I'm trying to convert her to the Christian faith, but I didn't want her to think that, oh, if I pay you, then you'll come to church or something. I didn't want to go in that area. But the other reason is that I don't know how much, I felt like she was sincerely listening to me, but maybe she had her own strategy. Maybe she had her own agenda on how to, you know, maybe they tell these people, hey, when you go out, you got to listen to the people that you talk to. Don't just ask them for money and you know, you got to listen to them and, you know, bait them a little bit. Maybe they have a strategy. And so maybe that's all she was doing. And so then if she would have got the donation, she would have thought, see, I did it. It worked. So that's what I'm going to do with people. So by not giving her the donation, I felt like she wasn't successful if she was trying to bring across any strategy of her own. I know that's getting a little, you know, fine-tuning there, but that's what came to me, and so I didn't. She didn't ask me after that, you know, she didn't. That would have been a little awkward, but I didn't want to go down that road. Well, anyway, so that's one situation. And so I, as much as I'm really not, you know, I'm not a flag waver when it comes to saving the planet or environment, I think just common decency and logic, I could relate to her to enough that I didn't have to insult her in what she was doing right from the get-go. Because it's so easy to build enemies. It's hard to build friendships. And so I'd even take a moment, I just thought of this. I don't remember her name. I did get her name, of course. And I just don't remember, you know, whatever happened to her. Who knows? I'll just say a quick prayer for her. Lord, I just pray for this gal that I shared with back then. I don't even know if she's even still alive. But Lord, I believe you want to save her, and I believe that you used me as well as you will use others in the future to witness to her. So I pray for her soul that she receives Jesus Christ if she's not already done so. And you'd send other people to faithfully witness to her where she's at. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. All right. Well, let's go right into our text. Acts 26, verses 1 through 29. Now, this is where Paul is going to be speaking before King Agrippa. I'm not going to read that whole passage. I'm just going to read a few of the verses. But let's go ahead and read the first, three verses here, and then I'll comment on those. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently." Okay, so here's what Paul did. As a way of introduction, he was very respectful, yet he didn't use flattery. If you look in the chapter before this, there's a man named Tertullus, an orator that was hired by the Jewish council to be their lawyer, if you will, their spokesman. And he goes on this big rant, and it's like he's trying to butter him up. It's really, you know, he uses a lot of fancy words. So we don't want to try to butter people up, as it were. But we do want to be, again, we want to be kind. We want to give legitimate compliments or... Now, Paul was already pointing out some common ground here. I don't know if he was presuming on this or he had known this about King Agrippa, but he said that King Agrippa was familiar with the customs of the Jews. So they had that common ground. So he wasn't a stranger to all this stuff. He was familiar to the questions and the customs of the Jewish people. Okay, so then in verses 4 through, we're not going to read that. I do want to comment these blocks of scripture that I'm not going to read for the sake of time, and they're not pertinently directed to the topic at hand. Paul did use his testimony, and so we might as well include this in our instruction today, is that if you desire to use your testimony, that's always something you can use at any given time. Now, we did a whole program on this, and I'll refer you to that. It'll be in the description, a link to the testimony, using your personal testimony. So that's all I'll say about that. But it is for another program. Maybe we'll do another one on that. So be as long or as short as you need to be when talking to someone. Okay. Now, if you do share your testimony, you know, you should have a short version and a medium version and a long version. If nothing else, at least a short version of your testimony and then a long version of it. So that if, you know, if you get cut off or if you're, you know, if you don't have enough time, you can at least share a little bit, be more general. And here's one thing about sharing your testimony I will mention. Be accurate, but do not embellish. In other words, embellish would be like these guys that go back after they go fishing, you know, they catch a fish and the fish gets away, and then they come back and tell the story, and they say that, well, the fish was this big. And then pretty soon after a few stories, no, it was actually this big. So we don't want to embellish our testimony to try to, you know, somehow, because basically it's lying. We don't want to taint our testimony or, you know, offend God by trying to make it out something. If you don't have a dramatic testimony like Paul has, that's okay. Just be honest. That's the main thing. So we don't want to embellish our testimony. Okay, in verse 8, I will read this verse. Paul says this, "Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead?" Okay, so he gives this question in the middle of his presentation. You could say it's a rhetorical question. It shouldn't be thought incredible. You know, the idea is, yeah, it shouldn't be. You know, he's using logic. And you can do that. You can bring up a question. We see that in Acts chapter 8 when Philip had asked the Ethiopian eunuch a question. And that's how he got invited up to sit with him. So you can ask questions. And they can be rhetorical. Okay, so the next block of scripture, again, I'm not going to read that. It's basically Paul's testimony, verses 9 through, goes through 18 there. I will read verse 19. "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." So he stops and midway here roughly and calls the King Agrippa by name. So if we can get the person's name that we're talking to, or if not, but this will help engage them so that you're not just going on and on and on. And you can tell by their body language if you're losing them, if it looks like they're getting bored or whatever else. But you can kind of engage them by periodically saying, you know, well, Sam, this is what I did next, you know, and this is a way of communicating that I think we can learn here from what Paul did. All right, verses 24 through the rest here. I will read this. It says, now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, this is verse 24, Paul, you are beside yourself, much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Okay, so one of the things I wanted to bring out here is you may have interruption from others. We talk of what we would call one-on-one witnessing, you know, where it's just you and one other person. You might be talking to two people or three people, or there might be a stander by that's sort of listening halfway, but you may at any possible time be interrupted. You may even be interrupted by the person you're talking to. So you got to be prepared for that. Now, Paul, he doesn't skip a beat. You know, he doesn't, you know, hey, Festus, shut up. I'm talking to King Agrippa. He doesn't do any of that. He answers the question. So whatever their issue is, if you can answer it, you know, we're not necessarily obligated to answer every silly little objection someone has. But if you can answer it, you know, Paul was quick to wit there. And he said, no, I'm not mad. This stuff's truth and reason. So he was just reemphasizing his position there. So be prepared that people might interrupt you. Now also he found common ground here as he brought out to the fact that the king is familiar again with the Jewish customs. But somehow, I don't know if Paul was taking a lot of liberty there, presuming that he believed the prophets. But he said, I know you believe him. Well, he knows that he heard of the prophets. And so he's saying, I know you believe him. Well, he gave him opportunity to say, I don't believe any of that. Well, he didn't say that. What he said was, hey, you almost persuade me to become a Christian with his presentation. He did. So that's what we have as well, is an opportunity to share with people and be a little presumptuous might not hurt sometimes by, you know, saying something like that. You believe, don't you? I mean, after what I just told you, it's truth and reason. So hopefully that'll help you. All right, my friends. Well, that's it for today's program. My podcast for radio broadcasts, which we're doing for First Love Radio and like I said, it's episode 75. When I first started it, it was an hour show, and we got moved to a half hour. So if it's around a half hour, I do some editing, or I might add a couple songs or whatever to make it a half hour for First Love Radio. But be sure to catch us at all of the sites that we got listed there. And until we meet again, thank you, my friends, and I hope you have experienced in your one-on-one witnessing to try to find common ground. And so pray up and go out, and we'll see you next time. Thank you, and God bless.
Do want to share the basics of the gospel, because you never know who tunes into this program, a total foreigner, a total stranger to the things of Christ, the message of the gospel, or maybe they've attended church a long time and yet they don't have a saving faith. They don't have a genuine saving faith. Well, what is the gospel? The gospel basically is the message that encompasses the person of Jesus Christ and the work that he had did, on the cross in particular, the suffering for the sins of his people, the guilty, the human race is all in sin. We have all fall short of the glory of God. We are sinners by nature and by choice. This happened in the Garden of Eden. We are separated from God, and there is a coming judgment for this. We are sinful. God is holy. And to bridge this great gap, God's solution, the only solution that could be possible to satisfy his judgment, and at the same time, let guilty sinners like us be set free, to be given a pardon, if you will. Jesus Christ, the Almighty God who came into the world, he became a man, and then he lived a holy life that we could not live. He went to the cross, laid down his life voluntarily as a substitutionary death, taking on our penalty. He died on that cross that said he was crucified. He died, he was buried, but on the third day he rose again. He is alive. Alive forevermore, and he calls us to believe in him, to follow him. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The Bible teaches that we must repent and believe in the gospel.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.